Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, howdy. Howdy. You welcome to the Church of Spenceology podcast. This is episode 7, and I want to thank you because our downloads on radio.com have reached 12. So thank you, all 12 of you. Minus my family, that would be four. So the four of you that have actually come to radio.com and said, I'm going to listen to the Church of Spenceology podcast. You know what? I've got to figure out a way to get you a prize, some sort of prize. I don't know what it is yet. My name is Spence, by the way. I am a co-host on the Chet Buchanan Show on 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas. That airs weekdays from 5:30 to 10 with me and Kayla and Chet Buchanan. And this is an opportunity for me to go a little long form. It's not a bad thing, but what I do here is not really, doesn't really work for this show. I can't talk about whatever the hell I want to. There's other people on the show. And sometimes, a lot of the time, people listening aren't interested in my inflated opinion about whatever it might be. So I want to thank our sponsor, first of all, another Church of Spenceology sponsor, the Fergie Ferg Home Security System. We'll play that commercial for you coming up in just a bit. Want to talk about UNLV basketball. I try not to do sports very much just because, you know, a lot of people don't care. And the last couple of seasons, nobody has cared about UNLV basketball. But Coach Menzies is doing a good job. They're trying to improve. Things didn't go well the other night at home against Reno. But we'll discuss everything about UNLV basketball, give you a parody of a Drake song that we call Reno. Did this a few years ago, and it's awesome. So even though we lost to UNR the other day, we still have better songs. The Nevada song's approaching 550,000 views on Facebook and YouTube. We just have better songs. So we'll play that for you coming up. And then I want to tell you the full Whistle Pig Whiskey Fund story. We did post, I wrote a blog at KLUC.com, and I've done some Insta stuff. But I want to tell you the full story and how cool it was when I mistakenly ordered a $125 shot of whiskey. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Plus, last week's Song of the Week, a parody of Halsey's Bad at Love called Bad at Math. See what I did there? So that's all headed your way. But first, you know, I'm a guy who will take his phone into the bathroom. And if I start doing something on it, whether I'm looking at Twitter or Instagram or playing, I play Candy Crush. I'm sorry. It's not like, and you know what's funny? It's not the real Candy Crush. It's like an offshoot, but it's the one my wife plays in bed every night before we go to sleep. So I'm kind of addicted because I got to get to the next level. And I'm on this certain, I'm only on like level 185 or something, and I can't get past it. But I will take my phone into the bathroom and whatever it may be, I may be in there for close to an hour. Not typically, but I will spend a great deal of time in the bathroom on my phone. I think it's the poor man's library. See, back in the day, if you had money and you built a house, you could build a library, a study, a conservatory. I don't have that kind of money. I have a decent house, but it's not big enough for a library. I don't have a library, so I use the bathroom. And that's where I read up on what's going on in the world. I think you do it as well. But this could damage your health. You've heard this, that UV light from the phone screen causes aging and age spots. So I don't know if you heard that. So the screen itself is not good for your face or the rest of your body for that matter. I've been in the bathroom long enough where my legs have fell asleep. And I think most men, you've done probably the same thing at some point where you're busy and the blood gets cut off to your lower extremities and you have to kind of shake it out because you're on pins and needles. But this might be the worst, the best reason not to look at your phone while on the toilet. Comes out of somewhere in China, which makes me believe it's not true, but it doesn't matter because it's a good story. There's a town called Zhangshan, Zhongshan, and it's in Southeast China. Gentleman sat on his phone, was playing games, and after a half hour of gameplay, sitting on the toilet, his rectum fell out. I didn't even know it was possible. His butthole fell out. Apparently he was sitting there playing on his phone, grunting and pushing, doing what you do in the bathroom. And his pelvic muscles got weak enough that they couldn't hold the rectum in his body anymore. I didn't know that your abs did that. I didn't know part of the deal was holding your butt in. So apparently his rectum fell out and just kind of dangled there. Yeah. He rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery, and the doctor says he's recovering. Now, in case you're worried about this happening to you, and you're like, I will never play video games on my phone on the toilet again. The guy did have some rectum issues in the past, so it was more likely to happen to him than maybe you or me. But it's important to note, your phone, they've talked that it causes cancer of your brain. We just heard that UV light causes aging and age spots, and now sitting on your toilet on the phone too much, people's buttholes are falling out. Did you hear me? People's buttholes are falling out. Don't do it. Save yourself and your butthole. We're going to talk UNLV basketball and the Whistlepig Whiskey Fund. It's all coming up after a word from our sponsor, Fergie Ferg Home Security Systems. With her version of the national anthem, Fergie may have scared away viewers from the NBA All-Star Game, but now she's scaring away possible intruders with the Fergie Ferg Home Security System. A break-in at your home? Let Fergie's mezzo-soprano tones terrify would-be burglars. Fergie's got America singing a different tune, and the melody's all about home security with the Fergie Ferg Home Security System. And for your car, Fergie says boom, boom, pow to possible car thieves. Let Fergie's lovely lady lumps protect your home, family, and property. Fergalicious? More like Securalicious. Is it alarming? Yes. Yes, it is. The Fergie Ferg Home Security System. Hey, it is the Church of Spenceology podcast and episode 7. My name is Spence, and I usually don't get into sports too much, but on our show, except for making snide remarks and an occasional parody song, there's not much, I can't really go into it. On Twitter, I like to go pick fights with people sometimes about UNLV basketball. As you know, the other night we lost by 26 to Reno at the Thomas and Mack. And then last year we lost to them by 30-something. Now this year, we did beat them at Lawler up in Reno, so that's good. But people are they still don't get it. This team's got 19 wins. Last year they had 11 wins. And this guy, I got in a bit of a Twitter beef with this dude, Matt, on obviously Twitter. He wrote, "This isn't UNLV basketball. This is something else. I don't expect the Tark days to return, but back-to-back 30-plus point home losses to UNR is about as low as this program can get." Truth be told, that statement is inaccurate. It's not back-to-back 30-plus point losses. It was only one, and this last one was 26 points. That is 4 points less than 30. So I responded basically to say, what do you expect? Coach Menzies, who's a good guy, inherited a program with three players on the roster. He had to build this program, it's his second season. He had to build this program out of baling wire and duct tape. So I don't expect them to win right away. They only won 11 games last year. It's not his fault. The administration, they were stupid. The administration, whomever it might be, the athletic director, the president, the boosters, whomever, I don't know. I wasn't in the meetings. But when they fired Coach Rice 3 games into conference because things weren't going as well as they had hoped, they basically destroyed UNLV basketball. And then the athletic director screwing up with the Cincinnati coach and then hiring Chris Beard, who lasted for, a couple of weeks. By the way, that team, he went to Texas Tech. He signed a contract here and then went to Texas Tech. And they're like ranked in the top 10, or at least they were. So the program was gutted. It was destroyed. So what do you expect? So this Matt guy continues on, and he writes, 5 or 6 conference losses, 3 blowouts in the last 4 games, and this is a year after adding a top JUCO player, blah, blah, blah. UNLV no longer has any cachet. I told him to read my response again, and I accused him of being a ridiculous UNLV fan with high expectations. You got to give him credit to recover from the administration's blunders. They've gone from 11 wins to 19 wins. It's pretty cool. And he writes back, expectations? Not losing by 30 points a game seems like a pretty reasonable expectation. That's what angry tweeting guy sounds like, by the way. This guy's Matt. Not losing most of your home conference game seems reasonable, but thanks for the judgment of character. Nice to know complete strangers have be so figured out. And I wrote, so I take you're going to travel the disappointed route then, which I thought was very funny. He didn't. And I don't want to, you know, I think he may have cursed at me after that. But UNLV, because of the 1990 championship from 28 years ago, fans have these ridiculous expectations. They had him under Kruger. They had him under Dave Rice. And they're rebuilding. I've met Coach Menzies. He's a good guy. The sad part about the mishandling of all of this, you know, and I guess there was a good crowd at the Reno game, but crowds have been sparse at the T&M for home games because, you know, while if you're a fan, you should go to the game, the fact is it's still entertainment. And I don't know if you know this, but here in Vegas, there are a lot of choices for the entertainment dollar. So I used to be a season ticket holder at UNLV, and when TKM let Dave Rice go, I had it. I'd had it because they completely destroyed the program. Now, I'm a partial season ticket holder for the Vegas Golden Knights. This was the perfect storm, by the way. UNLV shot itself in the foot. The administration totally destroyed its basketball program. And in that period, we got an NHL team, and that team turns out to be pretty good. So everything that was just getting handed over to UNLV now is all going to VGK. I'll give you a great example. In addition to the fact that I have season tickets or partial season tickets for the Golden Knights, and I haven't bought my UNLV tickets, I have purchased no less than 18 hats and or beanies over the last 6 months. You want to know how many UNLV hats I've purchased? That would be 0. And I would happily wear a UNLV hat if I could find one that I liked. Then the administration came out with that crap logo, which you've seen, which is garbage. It looks like a country music radio station logo for some station in Wyoming. It's awful. Everybody thinks it's awful. I went into the store the other day, and they actually have that crap logo on hats. So I've purchased 18 hats or beanies that have Golden Knights logos, and I have not purchased one. Here's what's funny. I went through all of my hats, my Golden Knights hats, and I took 4 out that I just won't wear again, and I put them in the Goodwill stack. So, truth be told, I have gotten rid of more Vegas Golden Knights hats in the 6 months than I've purchased UNLV hats. And I don't know what to say about it, except they've got to deliver a better product. Coach is doing that. And next year, maybe I'll get my season tickets back and go in there and cheer on the Rebels. I hope they win the tournament. I really do. But you've got to measure your expectations a little bit. They had 11 wins last year. 19's pretty good, and hopefully we'll win in the first round and get our 20th win. We're not going to go to the tournament. I get that. But baby steps, hopefully we'll get there. Now, I know we lost to Reno the other day, but it doesn't matter. This parody by Drake I did a few years ago called Reno. I think it illustrates the point is no matter if they beat us at basketball or not, we don't live in Reno. Thanks.
I say this with the utmost confidence. Reno's big donkey. I'll say this slowly so even you can understand this. The world knows you are the skid mark on Nevada's underpants. And you stink like porta potties, busty pose and cigarettes. Number one in meth labs, trailer parks and crabs. You make Honey Boo Boo Child look like she is upper class. And you'd rather be in the Bay, Las Vegas, or even Sac. If it wasn't for Lake Tahoe, nobody would give a crap. Reno. Reno, Reno, Reno.
Yeah.
Reno.
Yeah.
Damn, your women love them fries. Always get them supersized. Even Hender Tucky rolls their eyes and cries. Thank God we're not Reno.
Reno, Reno, Reno.
Yeah.
Reno.
Yeah.
And
According to a new list, the least happy city in America is St. Petersburg, Florida. But that's only because Reno, Nevada finally killed itself.
So, I don't care if UNR pounded UNLV the other day. We still don't live in Reno. And by the way, I can speak to this because I grew up in a town called Grass Valley, Nevada City, which is about an hour 15 away from Reno over the Sierra, take Interstate 80. And I've gone to Reno many a time. In fact, I think I went to Circus in Reno when I hit 21, or is it 18? When I turned 18, a buddy of mine took me to Reno, and I remember it smelled bad. And then just the other day, I don't know the exact how I know Vegas came in 34th or something like this, but the worst city in America was Reno, dead last. Worse than Fresno, worse than Bakersfield, all of it. Reno, the worst. So there. This is Spence. It's the Church of Spenceology podcast, episode 7. I want to tell you the Whistle Pig Whiskey Fund story. I've done a blog on it. We did a couple of bits on the air on the Chet Buchanan Show on 98.5 KLUC. But it's such a good story that I didn't fully elaborate on the air as to it's kind of multifaceted. And it's about Whistle Pig whiskey, which is a fairly new brand of whiskey. It's made on Whistle Pig Farm in Vermont. I don't think it's been around that long. And I heard that Maker's Mark, the guy that was the head distiller there or something along those lines, went on to form Whistle Pig as a distillery for whiskey. So it was a combination of a simple mistake at a bar, social media, mixed with a whiskey company that resulted in a little bit of money for an incredible charity. So, I'm at T-Bones with my wife at Red Rock, and I didn't know anything about Whistle Pig whiskey, only that it was one of the many whiskeys behind the bar. I'm sitting there with her, and I noticed that some friends were across the bar. So I simply tell my wife, I'm going to go say hi to them. Will you just order me a whiskey? And she asks, what? So typically, I just get a double JMO, just, you know, whatever. And typically, it is a double. I usually get a double Jameson on the rocks. She goes, well, what kind of whiskey do you want? And I look up and I go, well, that looks interesting. Whistle Pig. It was called the Boss Hog Whistle Pig Whiskey. So I go talk to my friends. I come back and I've got a glass of whiskey with a couple of ice cubes in it, and I sip it, and it's fine. So I don't know how much it is. I haven't asked. The bartender didn't give me any heads up on it. There wasn't a whiskey list that I saw that would have told me the price. So I'm drinking it like I would drink a whiskey. Thank God I'm not shooting it, but I'm sipping it. And then as we approach finishing dinner, my friends send the bartender over to buy us a round. And my wife is like, yeah, I'll take another martini or whatever it was. But I kind of looked at the glass of whiskey and I'm like, no, I'm okay. And thank God I did. The receipt comes out, or the check comes out from the bartender, and I look at the total, and in my head, I'm like, why is this so damn expensive? This is ridiculous. This is what's going on. And my wife, with her index finger, points to the receipt, and it says, Whistle Pig, the Boss Hog, $125. $125. I got sick to my stomach. My eyes bulged and I looked at my wife and I'm like, what the have I done? It was more than our food. The whiskey was more than our food. And then when you think back to what I was telling you, I normally get a double. That would have been $250. Then if I do that and I decide to take up my friend on them buying a round, that's $375, $125 of which would have ended up on their tab, and they would have crapped their pants. So I take a picture of the receipt, and it says clearly, Whistle Pig Whiskey, the Boss Hog, $125. I find out later that this bottle, it's like $600 to $900 a bottle. So $125 for the individual shot. I take the picture and I put it on Instagram because it's interesting. And it started a debate. as to whether the bartender had any responsibility in letting me know how expensive it was. And what's really funny is I hold no ill will to the girl behind the bar or the restaurant or anything. It's my responsibility to know. I have no problem with it. But I did have a lot of... We had somebody that wrote in that works down on the strip that said, that's ridiculous. She should have told you and let you know, or subtly given you a whiskey list and allowed you to see the price. I had somebody else say, if it's over $50, I'm going to let them know so there's not sticker shock. So I take a picture of the receipt and I jokingly say that I'm going to put it on Instagram. I'm going to jokingly open up a GoFundMe. And then I thought, why not? What harm will it do? And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'll get a couple of bucks and then I'll match it and I'll donate it to charity. I'm not actually going to pocket the money. So I put on GoFundMe, the Whistle Pig Whiskey Fund. And this is kind of important. It was capital W and then all lowercase letters, Whistle Pig, one word, but just all lowercase. And I put on the GoFundMe, because I am monumentally stupid, I unknowingly ordered a shot of whiskey that cost $125. Please find it in your heart to help me pay off my Whistle Pig whiskey debt. So I do that, and a couple of donations trickle in. My friend Amberly, a couple of different listeners to the show, and I'm at $40, and then I'm at $50, and I'm up to $75. I'm at a Golden Knights game, and this couple, Adam and Angie, come up, and they give me $5 to add to the total. I'm at a St. Baldrick's event down at the Bacon Bar, and another woman handed me over $5. So I've got like $85. And I take a nap one day after the show, and I decide, oh, I'm just going to check the GoFundMe, because we talked about it on the air and everything else. And lo and behold, I've reached my goal of $125. I've got the shot paid for. And throughout this whole process on social media, I made sure to use, you know, to tag Whistle Pig Whiskey, hoping that they would donate. So I wake up, I look at my GoFundMe, and it says $50 from Whistle Pig Whiskey, and they wrote this: A, $125 is a steal. B, not stupid. Best decision ever. And C, the P in Whistle Pig should be capitalized. So this is awesome. I now have $125 on my GoFundMe, another $10 donated in public. So I've got $135, and I'm thinking I'll match it and I'll donate it. Well, Whistle Pig didn't hear about the story directly through social media. I get an email from a woman named Stephanie McNabb, and she writes that she was at Whistle Pig Farm in Vermont, came across my post and let the people know at Whistle Pig what's going on. And she wrote me an email and it said, just spent the weekend with the awesome folks at Whistle Pig Farm, and I randomly came upon your post and told them about it. Shot paid for. Hashtag drink responsibly. So this was somebody else that just happened to see it that told them. So it's just the coolest thing. I am so incredibly happy. And so I'm going to round it up to $300, because you might as well. And my buddy Dan in St. Baldrick's, which March 3rd at McMullen's down on, is it Trop? It's a Flamingo. I always get confused. Anyway, down there, they shave the heads for childhood cancer research. And so I go onto his page to donate the money, $300. And I notice that he's $335 short of $13,000 for his total donation to have his head shaved for St. Baldrick's. So I just bumped up my donation to $335. His total went to $13,000. That's all for St. Baldrick's Children's Cancer Research Foundation. And all because I'm too stupid to ask how much a whiskey was at T-Bones. So it just tells you how wonderful it is, our social media and Instagram and all that kind of stuff, because you can really do kind of, you know, turn lemons into lemonades or whiskey into a donation or whatever you want to say it. And the people at Whiskey Pig, someday when I get a much better job, I plan on buying one of those Boss Hog bottles of whiskey and sipping it and enjoying it, knowing that you contributed. And it just ended up being kind of cool. So anybody listening to this that donated to the Whistle Pig Whiskey Fund, thank you so very much. So very much. This is the Church of Spenceology podcast. My name's Spence, co-host on Chet Buchanan's show on 98.5 KLUC weekdays from 5:30 until 10. At 8:05 every Friday morning, we do what we call Spence's Song of the Week. And this last week, I took Halsey's Bad at Love and made it bad at math.
Once again, boys and girls and all the little animals gathered around the radio, here's Uncle Spence.
For those who can't seem to balance their checking account, and like those that want to make pancakes but not that many pancakes, but they can't figure out what half of 1 3/4 cup is,
okay,
this would be a song for you. Listen up, kids. Pay attention in school. No boy up in old Henderson, and he's got so good at long division, wants to go to Canada for vacation, but the exchange rate, it's confusing him. Yeah, I'm a kid from the Silver State, attended Clark County schools but didn't graduate. When it came to PE, I did real great, but the calculus didn't calculate. I agree. Fractions baffle me. Geometry, it's all a mystery. Look, again, my rent is late, cause I always spend more than I make. Yeah, I subtraction gives me headaches, cause I'm bad at math. Ooh, ooh. My debit card's denying, cause I'm bad at multiplying, saying insufficient funds. Ooh, ooh. I've got poor credit history. I'm challenged mathematically. I'm bad at math.
And if we're gonna be honest, bad at singing. My God, did you hear that? I don't know why I will do songs that I can't sing. And by the way, if I sang the hook, bad at math, at the right note, no way, I'd hurt myself. Bad at Math, a parody. It's a song of the week from last week. Catch a new song of the week that I put together every Friday at 8:05 on the Chet Buchanan Show on 98.5 KLUC. Also, we post all our videos for that stuff, not only at KLUC.com, but on our YouTube, which is 98.5 KLUC, and our Facebook. So follow all that stuff. As far as me, I don't really do Facebook that much except through the station, but Twitter and Instagram are both Spenceology, S-P-E-N-C-E-T-O-L-O-G-Y, duh. So please follow. It'd be really cool. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast here at radio.com. It's the Church of Spenceology. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll have a new one very soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.